Yeah.
Not today. We're just going to...
Oh, here we go.
We're just going to continue on with the...
Who was the head coach of the Browns back in 1977 when disco was big? Was it Forrest Gregg?
Let's see if he even knows this type of thing. We might be going way back in there. We have a Scott Petrek from the Chronicle Telegram, Browns beat reporter, joining us this morning. Good morning, Scott. Thanks for sharing your Monday with us today.
Hey, sure. How are you guys?
All right. Who would be the Browns head coach then when disco was big, now that this Daft Punk is kind of bringing back a little bit of that disco era?
I believe it was Forrest Gregg. Yeah. I mean, Rettigliano's there in 80, so I think he took over in like 78 or 79, I think. I'm not a super expert on that, but I think it was Forrest Gregg.
That's back when there were like 10 teams in the National Football League or something like that, right?
I don't know about that.
Well, that was back when the Browns were,
Well, I remember back in those days, and the Forrest Gregg era was not all that successful, but boy, compared to nowadays, it would be a banner year, no pun intended.
That's funny. You know, you think about that too, and Craig, we've lived through a lot of Browns football, and there is just something from the time that they've come back where it's just, it feels so wrong, I guess, is the way you might want to put it. But we're looking for a new hope here in our brand new coach, Mike Pettine. Is that how you pronounce it? I get, you know, it's spelled one way. It looks one way. As a newspaper guy, you just have to spell it correctly. As a radio guy, you kind of have to sort of swallow half the letters in the name. But I guess it's better than Chudzinski, which I never got used to talking about. But let's talk about this. It went down about a week ago. What were your thoughts at the time?
Yeah, you know, he was an off-the-radar guy when he first popped onto the scene. It was reported he interviewed, which was, I want to say, January 16th was his first interview. And then when they hired him, you know, we got to meet him Thursday, was the actual hiring. He made a good first impression. He's a straightforward guy. He's tough. Demanding is the reputation he has. The Browns, one of the things that Jimmy Haslam and Joe Banner, the owner and CEO, they like the fact that he's going to hold the players accountable. I don't think he's going to take any guff from any of the players. So, you know, he made a good first impression, but, you know, that's all it is. He's never been a head coach at this level. He was a head coach in high school. In the late 1990s, early 2000s, and then he decided to make the jump to try to get in the NFL, took a big pay cut, became a video assistant in Baltimore, and then worked his way up, became a defensive assistant coach, and then a defensive coordinator under Rex Ryan in New York for 4 years, and then spent 1 year in Buffalo. His defense is always ranked in the top 10 for the 5 years. So he's got a decent resume, but, you know, hasn't been a head coach at this level. His focus has been on defense, so it's going to be important for him to hire a strong offensive coordinator. So there's a lot of unknowns there, like there is for a lot of head coaches whenever you find one. You don't know exactly how they're going to do, but a lot of unknowns, off the radar, not a big splash of a hire.
You know, you talked about how he kind of worked his way up. Didn't Eric Mangini have a similar track for him to get in?
Yeah, he started. Eric Mangini started as like a PR intern, then kind of went over the coaching. But the thing about Pettine is his dad is a legendary Pennsylvania high school football coach, and he played for him. And his dad was so hard on him that he wanted to leave the game. And then he played quarterback for him, so he wanted to leave the game. And then he got back into it, coached some high school for his dad. Went and was a college assistant for a couple years, went back, became a head coach in high school, and for a few years, I think it was 3 or 4, he coached in the same conference as his dad and went 0-5 against his dad, who's Mike Pettine Sr., and his dad retired after winning like his last 45 games and 3 state championships. So he comes from, it's an interesting kind of dynamic that his dad was such a good high school coach, and then Mike Jr. decided to, instead of just be continuing as a high school coach, left to try to make his way in the NFL. And obviously, it's a good decision because 12, 13 years later, he's a head coach.
Scott, is it going to be a little more difficult, maybe more so than normal, for for Mike to get the players to buy into what he wants to do, given the fact that what they were told to buy into last year was, you know, kind of whacked out the door?
Yeah, I think there's an element to that for sure. I think it's important when, you know, and the thing about the Brown, or about the NFL offseason is the players won't be back in the building until, I want to say, April 16th. So when he sits down with these guys or stands in front of them for the first meeting in April, it's going to be important that he makes a good first impression to those guys to convince them that, you know what, our ownership and our front office made the right move. Now, they're not going to know that day, but he has to give them the confidence that he's going to be able to lead them where they want to go. Now, you know, these guys will play hard and they'll practice hard because that's what they do, but, you know, it's almost like a subconscious thing that, oh my gosh, we look at this guy we picked, and, you know, guys like to talk and gossip and, oh my God, look what we got into. So I think it's important that he convinced them that he's the right guy. And he spent enough time against Rex Ryan. He said they have different personalities. Rex Ryan is such a boisterous, brash, predicting Super Bowls, and Mike Pettine, that's not who he is. But I think he spent enough time with Rex, and I know players who have played for him like him and respect him, that I don't think that's going to be an issue. I think he's going to be able to stand up and, quote-unquote, win the room. The bigger questions for him are after that. Is he able to hire the right staff? Does he get the right offensive coordinator? Can he and his staff develop the young quarterback that we expect the Browns to draft in May?
And can he work on the sidelines? It's a different thing being up right in the box than on the sidelines. It's, you know, it's not that far, but it's a big distance. It is really distant, a big distance.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, and it's, I believe, you know, he's going to call the defensive signals still. That's his plan. And I have little doubt that he'll be good at that. And the Browns will have a solid defensive scheme, and he'll call a good game on Sundays, and the defense will probably improve. He runs a similar scheme that Ray Horton does, so there shouldn't be much of a transition. But you still have to learn how to, when do I call timeouts? You know, do I go for it on fourth down? Do I kick the extra point or go for two? And those are the kind of things that a head coach has to make split decisions. And as a play caller, you get in the rhythm of calling, of making quick decisions, but they're different decisions. And the pressure is different, and the dynamic's different. Not only that, you have all the other stuff that goes with being a head coach. What if a guy gets arrested? How do I deal with that? How do I discipline guys? How do I deal with the media? All those things that we don't think of, oh, is he a successful head coach? There's a lot of CEO involved in being a head coach of the NFL these days.
Scott, you mentioned Mike's got to put together a staff. What have you heard through the weekend?
Yeah, well, you know, Cam Cameron, who is at LSU with Elyria's Les Miles, he was a name that got out there, but then it was quashed yesterday. The sports information director said he talked to Cam, and that Cam is comfortable in Baton Rouge, and he doesn't want to uproot his family. So you could cross him off the list. He worked with Pettine in Baltimore, so he was a natural guy to consider. Gary Kubiak, he was the Houston Texans coach. He just recently got fired near the end of the season. He's not going to take the job. So I think Pettine's looking for a guy that has experience. He said ideally he'd find a guy on his staff that's been a head coach to kind of help him get through the, you know, kind of be a good resource for him. But I'm not sure how many guys like that are out there anymore. So it'll be interesting to see who he comes up with. There's not a huge name out there right now that you would say, okay, that's a great hire. You know, he's actually, I think it's kind of interesting. I think North Turner would be the perfect kind of guy who was here last year with Chud, and obviously he left when Chud got fired, and he wound up in Minnesota. So, you know, I think that's the kind of guy they're looking for, a guy who's been a head coach, a longtime offensive coordinator, somebody that Mike Pettine can just hand it over to and say, go run my offense, and Pettine will have an influence. But on game day, you can say, you know what, I trust you to call whatever you want. You go do it. And it'll be interesting if he can find a guy, because it's late in the process, and I'm not sure how many big-time offensive coordinators are still out there.
It's interesting, you know, you said he was a quarterback. I wonder, in high school, I wonder how many sort of offensive-minded guys actually are becoming defensive coaches. Obviously, that balance could probably do him well in this
position. Yeah, you know what, he thinks it's going to be an asset. you know, I think some people dismiss it like, well, you know, it was high school and, you know, he's been all defense in the NFL. But I know when he was coaching high school, he called some offensive plays, and, you know, there were, ESPN did a couple documentaries about him and his dad, and you know, he was giving, you know, he was designing on offense and he was helping with the play calls. So I know he has that background. Now, it's a different world in the NFL, but he believes he's going to help the offense with his defensive perspective. He doesn't want to be one of those guys that just works with the defense and ignores the offense. He said it's important to connect the offense, defense, and special teams, and he feels he's qualified enough to do that. So I think that's a good background to have, but you still need to find that play caller who can get it done on Sunday, because that makes so much of a difference.
Next Sunday is the Super Bowl. What are you going to be looking forward to coming that weekend?
I think it's going to be a really fun game. You know, we don't know what the weather's going to be, if it's going to be a factor. I think that gets a little overblown, but if we have a blizzard, what are they going to do? How's it going to affect the game? You know, I don't think it should be played in a cold weather outdoor stadium. Myself, I think it should be in a warm place or a dome. So I hope the weather doesn't have a huge impact. I think Denver is playing really well. I like how their defense has improved over the last 3 weeks. They held Tom Brady in check last week. And I think Seattle's going to have a hard time moving the ball and scoring, especially through the air. If Denver gets off to a big lead, I don't think Seattle can catch up. So I'm going to take Peyton Manning because he's a better quarterback than Russell Wilson, and I think he's going to get a second win. And so I like Denver, and if I had to pick a score, maybe something like 27-17, something in that vicinity.
Huh. Did you expect a 22-21 game yesterday in the Pro Bowl?
No, that was way lower scoring. The Browns showed up pretty well. I was in the office, so I didn't get to see every snap. But every time I looked up, Josh Gordon, I think, had a touchdown, caught a bunch of passes. Jordan Cameron had a big touchdown. Looked like he was going to be the game winner. He caught one late. So I think the Browns showed up well.
So, again, when you get in the offseason, do they send you to Sochi now? Is that the next stop for you after the – or when is the last time you had a Browns offseason where there wasn't a whole lot of things to look forward to?
I tell you what, it's been – the upheaval has been – it's been crazy. You know, the next stop for me is hopefully a scouting combine in February. I think it's February 19th. It starts in Indianapolis. And every year you say, well, I have to go, and it's a huge event because Browns have a new coach. You need to spend time with them. The Browns have a high draft pick, and you need to talk. You need to talk to some of these draft eligible players. And we're at it again. You know, I'm going to go to the combine in February, and it'll be Johnny Manziel, Teddy Bridgewater, Blake Bortles, Derek Carr, all those quarterbacks that the Browns could draft at 1, 2, 3, or 4, and then they have a second. You know, they have a second number one pick. So it's going to be a busy offseason, but the combine is the next thing on the radar for me.
So that's the next part of the piece of the puzzle. Hopefully they can get one piece at a time, and everything looks like it's, you know, building momentum to a good start for the 2014 season. But that's still quite a long way off. But at least they got their coach, and next step, I guess, is getting the assistants and then figuring out what the player's situation is going to be like. Scott, thanks for sharing the time this morning, and we'll talk to you in the future.
Okay, guys.